Today on Movie Royal, as we talk about gold, a dog's purpose, and a cure for wellness. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings.
Hello.
Hello.
We're back again with another triple bill.
Yes.
I'm kind of excited about this show.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of movies that...
Interesting.
Well, it's an interesting mix, right? We have Gold, Matthew McConaughey vehicle.
Yeah.
We have A Cure for Wellness, which is Gore Verbinski's latest entry.
And then a Disney.
And then, well...
A Disney-esque.
Yeah. We should give credit to where credit's due. And this is not a Disney movie, but a dog's purpose, or as Rashmi calls it, the purpose of a dog.
The purpose of a dog works too.
I think it works perfectly, Joe.
So, we aren't going to do a Netflix pick this week, so we'll return hopefully in the next podcast with that, because it's kind of a catch-up episode, and we're catching up with what has been a pretty rapid start to the year. A lot of big releases.
Plus, I think a lot of us were catching up with even like 2016 movies that we didn't manage to catch.
Right, finally caught our breath from all of the end-of-year craziness.
Almost.
Right. Well, it's not done until Oscars season is here, right?
Correct. Yes. That seems to be like the period.
That's when we
full
can put
stop.
2016 to rest finally.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we haven't really done a reaction show to this year's Oscars, but maybe we get a chance we can do that.
We should do it before the Oscars.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can fit that in. Rashmi, I know you've got a crazy travel schedule coming up, so we'll do what we can. Remember, Movie All As is part time, made with love from us, and that we fit it into our lives where as best we can. So, all right, three movies then. We have A Dog's Purpose, Gold, and The Cure for Wellness. Where would you like to start?
Gold.
All right.
Okay. Let's get it out the way. Okay, so Gold is the latest offering from Stephen Gaghan, who I only knew from Syriana, actually, which I loved. Mm-hmm. And it stars Matthew McConaughey, as Kenny Wells, who's a prospector desperate for a lucky break. And he teams up with a similarly eager geologist and sets off on a journey to find gold in uncharted jungles of Indonesia. And he's supported by Edgar Ramirez and an entry by Bryce Dallas Howard, who seems to be in quite a lot recently.
Yeah. She's picking up steam.
Yeah. So, Yazdi, why don't you go first?
So it's funny that this movie is released at the same time as The Founder, and we also discussed that in our previous episode, but I see a lot of similarities between The Founder and Gold. They're both about larger-than-life men who kind of wrestle their way to great success and often trampling on, you know, what might be the right thing to do or the morally straight path, and about this intersection of greed and entitlement and capitalism and all that good stuff. So here's another entry about a man who would go to any extreme to get what he wants. For me, it was a little too larger than life. It just seemed like a circus act through most of the movie, because I know that Matthew McConaughey is supposed to play a character who is incredibly larger than life and who's in everybody's face and who's annoying, but he really was in my face, and so he seemed like a clown to me, and I could never kind of recover from that. Plus, it had that the black mass effect, where his makeup was so overpowering that I could not kind of distract myself from his makeup. I kept staring at his bald head the whole time in the movie. But anyway, be that as it may, it didn't quite work for me.
So I think you stole my notes, Yazdi. I can't believe we're so aligned. And it's interesting you mentioned The Founder, because like that, I also found this movie very dull and very disposable, despite it being an interesting story that has a really committed performance by Matthew McConaughey, but it's so overplayed.
Yeah. It's really overplayed. The teeth and the hair and the belly. And it's like, oh, come on. He looks like a clown.
He does. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't react to him in that way. I mean, I know what you're saying, the makeup and, you know, was something of a distraction, but with McConaughey, kind of sells it to me. So, yes, I kept thinking, wow, this is great makeup, instead of thinking, this is a great movie. And, you know, that's not really what you're aiming for. But I think fundamentally for me, the movie fails because it kind of lacks the intelligence that this kind of heisty type situation needs, right? This movie has, you know, a number of things about it where it could have been sharper. It could have been more deceptive in terms of the movie's hiding a secret, right? And I hope that's not too much of a spoiler, but the way that the story kind of plays out should have been done with more intelligence. And I hate saying things like that because I think it's a really unfair statement. I think the screenwriters and directors try and do this as best they can, but it ends up playing out a little too linearly. And I almost feel like this is one of those movies where if they'd taken the time to tell the story in flashback or something like that to kind of reveal its secrets as it goes along,
and I think
instead
it tries to do that, but it comes in almost halfway in. It's very strange, the sequencing. I think exactly what you're saying, Joe. At one point in time, it goes back in time, right? But we only realize what's happening once we move forward. It's very strange.
But it ends.
There's no sleight of hand. This needed sleight of hand.
Yeah, it needed to be, you know, needed to be told with a bit more cunning. And I think maybe if they just flipped the movie around and said, "And here's the facts, and here's how this came to be," I think it would have been, you know, it could have been a biting satire on capitalism, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's I think what they were doing to some extent. You know, this is a what's the word? A cautionary tale on the greed and capitalism.
Like The Big Short or Enron or something, you know.
Yeah.
Those are good movies because they're cunning. You're right, that's a great word. I mean, for me, it just took too long to get there.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't blame the filmmakers. Well, I do blame them, but I mean, the script is very, very, very ambitious. I mean, you know, it's set in New York and it's set in these jungles of Indonesia and, you know, they've put an effort. It seems like it was really shot, you know, in those jungles. And there's a lot of sweat on the screen there. You can see that, you know, nobody has phoned this in. But, it doesn't seem to. The way the story is put together, it's almost like a Rubik's Cube. It doesn't all fit together. And then it becomes disposable. I've even forgotten so much of this movie.
Right.
I remember like three scenes from the movie.
Right.
And we saw it like 10 days ago.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For me, though, the MVP in this movie was Edgar Ramirez, who was just so good in this movie. I really, really liked him.
He's always good, actually.
Yeah, he kind of reminded me of, like, Viggo Mortensen in terms of what he's able to do. And he's, you know, he plays this character very, very carefully. And for me, he was more of a revelation than, you know, McConaughey just literally jumping around.
Yeah, and now considering, I'm just looking at what else he's done. I mean, he was the ex-husband in Joy.
Joy, yeah.
And he was also the doctor in The Girl on the Train.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Gosh, yeah. Wow.
Oh, and he's in a brilliant movie called Carlos, where he played the South American mafia guy, and it's a two-part movie, and you must see it.
Oh, really?
It's just brilliant. Yeah, it came out 3-4 years ago, and he's like, magnetic. He's he's very good in that.
I mean, it's interesting you mentioned the Rubik's Cube because I also thought it had a weird 80s soundtrack that just seemed really jarring with the rest of the movie. And I can't, you know, it's always interesting when filmmakers use real music, you know, real sort of band
time
music.
Yeah,
time appropriate music to convey a feeling or enhance the scene. And I just thought it was a really strange use of music and songs of the 80s. They made no sense to me. I love 80s music. Very strange movie.
Yeah, I feel like talk about movies ending up in kind of production hell. And I feel like there's too many opinions in this. This needed a more singularity of vision. Instead, it ends up being this kind of bad soup of good ingredients. Because I think, you know, the elements are all there. It just didn't come out right this time.
Yeah. I mean, I have to give Bryce Dallas Howard a shot. She's acting a little heart out.
She is, but again, it's that Betty Draper character.
It really is. Yeah, like, I'll give it to you this week, Yasdi.
Just like the supporting wife, and I don't know. I bet she, no, and she is acting her heart out. She's terrific. I mean, I kind of livened up a little bit when she came on screen because she was authentic. But anyway, I mean, yeah. I know at one point this was like supposed to be a major player for the Oscars, and I can see why it's not.
Yeah. All right, let's sum this one up. I'll go first. Not gold, maybe tin. 4 out of 10.
Oh, Yasdi.
Yeah, 5 out of 10. I mean, there's obvious symbolism, and it just doesn't all stick together. And I don't know. McConaughey needs to tone it down a little bit, please.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a 5 as well. And you know, this is definitely not something to run out and watch. And I think, again, I wasn't familiar with the story. I went back and did, you know, a little bit of reading about what actually happened here. And they've taken a lot of artistic liberties with the mm-hmm. with the truth of the story. So, you know, number one, this was set up in Canada. This movie is not a Canadian-based setting. So, again, it's kind of some odd choices. I don't know why you would change that for the sake of changing that. The based on a true story could have been closer to the truth. And I think that would have made for a more fascinating storytelling endeavor. So, 5 out of 10. Yeah.
Yasdi? Oh, you've done yours. Yeah, see? It's like the movie. It just went out of my head.
Rashmi's just tuning the movie out of her brain.
Okay.
All right, movie number 2 then. Shall we go to
Dog's Purpose? Or the purpose of a dog, even.
As Rashmi call it. So, this got one of the shortest descriptions ever on Rotten Tomatoes, and I think that's... I'll just stick with that, because 2 lines is really enough to give you a sense for what this doggy movie is all about. The Dog's Purpose shares the soulful and surprising story of one devoted dog who finds the meaning of his own existence through the lives of the humans he teaches to laugh and to love. This movie is directed by Lasse Hallström and stars Dennis Quaid and then a whole bunch of other kind of lesser known actors, Britt Robertson, KJ Apa, which is what a funny name that is. Apa, is it Epa?
He's new. He's on that television series called Riverdale on CW. But anyway, yeah, I think he's Australian or New Zealandish or something. Anyway.
Josh Gad makes an appearance here, and so does John Ortiz.
Okay.
So, guys, what did you think of A Dog's Purpose?
So everyone knows I love dogs. I love, 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 love dogs. And this movie has had a lot of controversy surrounding it before it opened about this unfortunate video which surfaced, which seemed to indicate that at least one German Shepherd was put under, not tortured per se, but put under a lot of stress during filming. And so there were a lot of people who were looking to boycott this movie. And as a dog lover, I think I'm going to call for the boycott of this movie as well. Not because of the video, but because it's a bad film. I don't think people should watch this. It really gives dogs a bad name. I mean, I am the ultimate dog lover. I was not moved at all. And it just seems so pat, and there's no depth to this. I mean, compare it to, like, you know, Marley and Me, or, you know, any number of other dog movies. This one doesn't cut it. Sorry.
It's going to be one of those shows.
Okay.
Okay. Look, I defy anyone, this is what I've written, I defy anyone who loves or has animals not to be affected in some way by this movie whilst watching it. Yes, you're made of stone. I was sobbing. I was literally sobbing. I was embarrassed how much I was sobbing during this movie. I think this is Look Who's Talking, the dog version.
Yes, it is. It's really
sweet. It's really sweet and touching to watch in the moment. But definitely, I agree, not one that's going to stay with you. But I found it really entertaining, and I loved it moment to moment. It's highly disposable. But having lost an animal, you know, it gave me some comfort.
Mm.
And I think that's where my bond with this movie came from, because the thought that my cat will come back and forever try and want to be with me again just makes me sleep better and warms my cockles, as Joe used in our previous podcast. So I really enjoyed this movie.
Joseph.
You know, I so want to hate on this movie because it has so many flaws. I mean, I think, Yasdi, everything you said is completely true. But I think sometimes you have to take a movie in terms of the context of its target audience.
Sure.
This is a doggy movie, right? The critics are never going to love anything like this. And if you try and evaluate it in the same vein that you might evaluate
Scarface.
The kind of, right, or Silence, you know, the Scorsese film, right? This isn't ever and was never intended to be high art. Instead, it is a Disneyfication of a story. I think for its target audience, who are going to be dog lovers, animal lovers, I think there's enough there to kind of keep their own tails wagging. And I think that's the purpose of this movie.
As our cat makes an entrance.
You know, I think it's horrible. I mean, honestly, if I can't think of a single person that I would say, you must run out and see A Dog's
right.
Purpose.
It's so true. Cute.
But I think for the people who, you know, have like, you know, dog-shaped stuffed pillows and, you know, have like, you know, the bumper sticker with a bone shape on it. And yeah, I think these are the kind of people who I think will raise a smile. And so for them, it's okay. For the rest of us, look at the poster. I mean, for God's sake, aww. If you go in there with any expectations of this being high art, you know, you're just, you know, you're mistaken.
I think, I mean, to
did
be
you more, notice how Joe managed to, like, walk this very fine line of...
Because I don't think it was awful
for the
animal lover. But yeah. I also can't claim that this is a good movie at all. I mean, there's just nobody I can think of that I would... My mum, dog lover. I'm not telling her to go watch this.
I would rather somebody watch Lassie or Marley.
I would totally tell my sister to go and watch this, who has a dog. Totally.
Your sister, on the other hand, is exactly the kind of audience. And what's her favourite movie?
Home Alone.
You know.
But I think...
Yeah,
I think this movie would... Never mind. I wouldn't be mean. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, don't be mean to this movie, Yasmin.
Look, you can't watch it with an ounce of intelligence. I mean...
No.
I'm not saying that you have to be stupid to watch it. I'm saying... Don't apply.
Correct. Like,
don't
correct.
Apply kind of deep thinking to what's
correct.
Being depicted
yeah.
here, because the movie isn't made for that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a young child with a dog, pet dog, totally appropriate for them.
Yeah.
Anyone under the age of 10, it's a doggy movie, and it gives you those moments.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think. I like the stories. You know, it's a series of little vignettes, and I like the vignettes, and the dogs are all super cute, and I thought that it tackles some interesting material about, you know, abusive people, bullying, love, abusive animals. I mean, ultimately, it's about this cute dog, and it's very well voiced, and I think it's good enough.
Ah, it's good enough. Yeah, okay.
All right, let's wind this one up.
I'll tell you what I like about it. Like, when I go to see a dog movie, I mean... I so love dogs. I'm looking to be devastated. And I think this movie at no point is trying to be realistic. It's more like a fable. It's like a fable.
That's a good
it's almost
point.
Like a fairy tale. And it's and I didn't see it. I was wanting it to be more right. realistic, more grounded. And it was going from story to story. And I shouldn't fault the movie for it not being what I expected it. You say this all the time. I expected it to be something other than it is. But what it is, I think, gets the job done.
Yeah. I think more than anything, I think for me, it was a comforting movie. And again, the context for me is, you know, having lost an animal.
Sure. So
it's a very comforting way to look at the loss of an animal in a way.
You know, those of us that have pets know that the pets are with us for a finite length of time. And so I think the idea that the movie introduces, which is, you know, these spirits and these souls of these animals, you know, are
endless.
Recycle, yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, is kind of a nice little idea. And I think it helps the parent with the 6-year-old whose dog has just died
right.
to go see something like this and say, well, this is the natural order of things. And, you know, this dog now has this other purpose in life. So, yeah, it's okay for that, which will be my wrap up. I mean, I think this is one of those movies that I haven't done this for a long time, but it's a 2-score movie. I think for the general movie going audience, yeah, there's not a lot here. This isn't a kind of a genre breaker. This isn't an expectation, you know, type thing. If this isn't your thing, don't even think that it's worth your while. This is going to be a 4 out of 10 for you. I think if you're an animal lover, on the other hand, and you just want to have something that's not too deep and cerebral and will put a smile on your face and you bring a tear to your eye, then I think this is a great movie for you, and I think this would be a 7 or 8 out of 10.
Yazdi made of stone.
Turner and Hooch, Air Bud, and especially My Dog Skip are movies you should rent instead, because they will just completely devastate you. I love those movies. There is nothing wrong with this movie. I think it's meant for a particular intent.
Breed
for
a particular person, breed. Yeah.
And so I wanted it to be... Anyway, it's not what I wanted it to be. 5 out of 10, which is very, very, very generous.
This is a really effective movie that made me sob and filled my heart with joy during the happy parts, and then angry when some parts show the animals being mistreated. If you have an animal or you love animals, watch this movie. I'm probably that latter part of the scoring that Joe gave. And I would absolutely give this a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Okay. Final movie of the week then, A Cure for Wellness.
So A Cure for Wellness is from director Gore Verbinski, who seems to have been around forever, but he made his first movie only about 20 years ago. And in that time, he's only made 11 movies. He's most famously known for directing all 3 of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, but he also made the original The Ring, the horror movie, which curiously has a sequel, which is being released at the same time right now. He also made Rango and The Lone Ranger, and here he is making the film A Cure for Wellness. A Cure for Wellness is about a young company man, a fairly young corporate man who gets sent by his business to retrieve one of their key business executives from a spa in Switzerland where this man is absconded to. And this young man goes to said spa to retrieve this man and soon gets sucked into the goings-on within the spa. And that's all I'm going to say. It is written by Justin Haith, based on his original story, and Gore Verbinski has co-writing credits. And the movie stars Dane DeHaan, Jason Isaacs, and Mia Goth. So... this came kind of out of nowhere. I didn't even know that this movie was being made, let alone that it was being released. But we saw it not 2 days ago. So what did you guys think of A Cure for Wellness?
So step aside Cowboys and Aliens or, you know, Pride and Prejudice, Zombies version. This is one of the most outrageous and crazy bonkers movie mashups I've ever seen. And it was so bad that I actually loved it. This is like snack mix insanity dream, or like, you know, when you've had lots to drink the night before and then you have these weird, crazy dreams, or in my case, I have weird, crazy dreams all the time. What a ride. This is Cocoon meets Wolf of Wall Street meets Coma meets Dracula, and it's all set on an idyllic little hilltop in Switzerland. I love this.
Joseph.
This is torture. Honestly, I mean, clearly the movie is about a character that's being tortured. But for me, I found the whole thing kind of insufferable and somewhat kind of purposeless. I think it was, where do I start with this?
It's so bad.
It's not that it's so bad. I think there's some ideas here that are well executed. But I think ultimately its plot kind of gives it up, right? It seems... is it supernatural? Is it not? Is it, you know, horror film? Is it not? Is it psychological thriller? Is it not? And I found myself just scratching my head the whole time thinking what is going on, which was obviously the you know, the Shutter Islandness of the movie. But I think when the situation kind of becomes clear and resolves itself, it just felt like I'd been strung along for 2.5 hours too much. This could have been told differently, and maybe that's not what they were trying to do, but it just irritated me all the way.
So just to be just to be provocative, I think this is the best film of the year I've seen so far. I really love this movie.
And
more than A Dog's Purpose. And you know, we were talking about Split earlier. The reason why I love this movie is exactly the reason why I hated Split. There is nothing safe about this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, at any given time, I had no idea where this movie was going. It was completely unpredictable. And like at the 2-hour mark, I was scratching my head because there were so many loose strands. I'm like, how in hell are they going to tie everything up together?
Badly.
And I think for me, what really, I mean, it's again, it's like walking a dog. Sometimes you walk with it. I started walking with this dog right from the beginning because this movie has some of the best visual compositions I've seen in some time.
Stunning cinematography.
I mean, it just opens with these, you know, quiet shots of skyscrapers. There is a...
It's very David Fincher.
It's very David Fincher, yes. And there's this incredible shot from the side of a train which is going into a tunnel. I would have gladly paid $18 just to watch 10 seconds of that. That's so beautiful. It just filled me up. It literally, as a movie lover, it filled me up. I was just happy as a clam at that point. I'm like, I don't care how the rest of the movie turns out. But, you know, nobody's making movies which are unpredictable, which are just completely loony. You know, and I think we need to embrace that. Otherwise, all that we'll be seeing will be sequels of Ring and Pirates of the Caribbean. So I love it for how completely insane the movie is. It's just it just gets progressively more insane.
I still haven't given you a high five this week.
it's so untethered. It's and unbridled. Bonkers. It's just bonkers.
It's so bonkers crazy.
So this is something. I mean, you guys love Drango, right?
Yes.
Another Gore Verbinski.
Yes.
The animated one with John.
The one that
Johnny
I absolutely
yes, but
hated.
But I hated Lone Ranger.
Yeah, I didn't care much for Lone Ranger.
Okay, fair. Because this director is really not on my wavelength at all. I don't like his particular handling of the bonkersness of it. I think that there needs to be something to kind of tie it together loosely,
it
right?
But it does.
Oh,
it does.
God.
It's almost
like a Kubrick film, almost like a suspense movie, and then it becomes, you know, more Shutter Islandish, like more sinister, and then it becomes like a, you know, Universal horror movie. I mean, I don't want to give too much away. It just,
I agree.
There's a progression. I think it's intentional.
It's one of the best mashups. I mean, honestly, it's so bonkers, crazy. It's like he took 10 different scripts of 10 different genres and put them through a mincer and came out with this thing. And I'm with you, Yasti. I mean, it probably took me a little bit longer to let the dog walk me. But once I just kind of settled back and thought,
just surrender.
Who cares?
Yeah, just surrender to
who
this
cares,
nonsense,
right? It's so deliciously naughty and saucy and crazy and all of those like cold European people in it. And then
it's got people with pitchforks burning castles. What can you not like?
I know. It's insane.
And with that said, don't you think it should have been scarier?
It was scary.
It was not scary.
It was not scary.
Oh.
I thought there was bits when I was very tense thinking. I mean, I had to cover my eyes about 3 times.
No,
I did cover my eyes. Oh, and that's it. Go on, please finish.
No,
I
was just
going to
say, there were, like, I literally covered my eyes 3 times. And I think, you know, look, I predicted, it was very predictable. Not all of it, but I would say 2/3 of it was very predictable. Like, I had written down certain things like, that's not that, or
right.
I bet that will happen. Like, I actually wrote it in my notes. But it didn't matter because it was just, it really went for it. It really committed. That's what I liked about it, right? It said, I don't care whether this is plausible or even sensible or even makes sense. I'm just going to go there.
And, you know, my thing is, as absurd as it is,
I think
from
the two of you have been absolutely driven to insanity by this movie.
And
I'm possessed.
Like,
I'm the sane person trying to look at these people who've clearly lost their minds.
But Joe, would you agree that as fantastic as the script is, that the visual implementation of it is never less than masterful?
Sure.
I mean, there are these cavernous dungeons and there are these, you know, I mean...
And then beautiful, Eastern European, beautiful,
frescoed,
like, halls with, you know, there's this beautiful scene, and I think it's actually on the trailer or the poster of a group of people in a pool holding
exercise balls,
and it's all synchronized, and those sort of scenes were, like, stunning
to look
at. And
then what
was
the eels?
Oh, you did. Oh, of course.
And oh,
Joe,
yeah.
We need
okay,
to talk
we'll have
about,
to tell you about
we
that
have to
then.
Tell you after that, Joe.
That's a spoiler, but we'll tell
no,
you.
No, it's right here on the page. I mean, it's like there's a girl in a bathtub full of eels. I mean, this. None of this makes sense to anybody.
It made sense to me.
Did.
Oh my God.
Joe, you need to watch it again.
Maybe I do. But maybe I value my own sanity much too much to sit through it.
The other thing I liked is this is why, I'm sorry, I hate to poop on Shyamalan, but this is so committedly an R movie. It's not messing around. It's like, this is an R movie. You see a proper dental extraction. You see the teeth come out of somebody's mouth proper. There's another one where this...
Naked old ladies.
Naked old men.
There's this scene of a screwdriver going through somebody's tooth. This is committed stuff. I mean, I wasn't scared, but the movie really goes there.
Yeah.
And I just commend I commend somebody saying... You know, F Hollywood, I'm just going to make this movie.
Look, this is a long movie. This is also 2 hours and 26 minutes.
Yeah, it is too long.
I'll give you that. That's the one concession. It's a little bit too long. I would have been happy with 2 hours. But 2 hours and 26 is a little bit too long. But it's so gleefully bad.
I don't even know if it's bad. I think it's just deranged.
It's completely unhinged.
I think it's unhinged. I don't think the craft is bad at all, or the acting, or any of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't bored by this, but I just spent the whole time kind of scratching my head, saying, "What is the plot?"
Yes,
and there isn't one.
There is so much. There's an abundance of plots.
There's like 25 different plots.
Yes,
cobbled together with duct tape, barely.
Yeah,
and then you. You know, it's...
I love it. I love it.
Did you know that the female lead in the movie is married to Shia LaBeouf?
No.
Yes. It kind of makes sense now.
And this adds to the... in what way?
Like, who else would take that role on? I can't think of... You know, I think somebody in the mental space of Shia LaBeouf would take that role on, I think.
Yeah. I must say, I did like the lead.
I think
he played it really well. Is it Justin? Oh no, Dane DeHaan.
Dane DeHaan.
I haven't seen him in anything else.
Oh, he was in The Place Beyond the Pines, and he was in Chronicle.
Okay.
And
he was much younger, right?
Yes, yes.
And we did say, look out for Dane DeHaan. I do remember the conversation now.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else to say about this one? We can't really say much without giving anything away. So
give it away. No one will make sense of it anyway.
No, it will.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do a Joe sandwich.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'll go first. Like I said, this is the most inventive, most fun movie I've seen so far this year, and it's a low bar because it's only January. But I was just getting increasingly more happy. And the last half an hour, I was like, no, you're not going there. You are not going there. And it totally went there. And I was like, so happy. And I'm like, screw Hollywood executives. Fuck them all. You know, make the movie you want to make. So I'm sorry. I really like this movie. I'm so tempted to give it a 9 out of 10, but I'm going to give it an 8.5. It's deranged, but visually it's so constrained and held together. It's beautifully realized. Just watch this movie for the visuals alone.
I'm giving 8 out of 10,
and I do agree somebody should have cut out 15 to 20 minutes from the middle of the movie, and it would have been even more delicious.
Yes, he clearly hasn't taken his schizophrenia medication this week. So I agree with you that this movie is very technically there's nothing to complain about, but again, there's something about the particular flavor that this director directs with that rubs me the wrong way.
Cardamom pods.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Gore Verbinski is just kind of like cardamom pods.
It's kind of like an allergy. He irritates me because I think he thinks he's so damn clever, and I don't know that this movie demonstrates that, but all the time he's trying to say, I'm really smart, look at this camera angle, look at this moment. But it doesn't impress me. And I think, ultimately, I just found the thing so... so pointless, and especially when we get to the end, when you do get the actual reveals, I would have preferred it to be more of the psycho thriller than it's kind of in the same flaw that I think Split has, where they provide an explanation for the happenings that is like, what? That's just crap. I mean, there's nothing at the beginning that would have led me to the possible conclusion that this is what's going on. And I get irritated. No, it irritates the heck out of me. I want that kind of sixth sense moment where it's like, oh my God, it was so obvious all along. That's exactly what was happening. But instead it's like, and then, you know,
and then it was a giant shark.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then King Kong came along and Godzilla came out of his eyeballs. You know, so it's just nonsense. So, 5 out of 10 generously. It irritated me so much.
This is one of the best guilty pleasures. The best guilty pleasures I've watched in a long, long time. And I even sat through Versailles on Netflix, if anyone's interested. Anyway, if you want to have fun at the movies and lose yourself for a few hours, go watch this movie. It may even become a cult classic.
I think it should. It should be shown late in the night.
Yes, you know, at cinemas, on a Friday evening or student unions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, they'll save money on LSD because that's solid, kind of how it feels.
Solid 8 out of 10.
Wow.
So beautifully made.
It's so bonkers.
Ooh.
I loved it.
And I hate this kind of stuff usually.
I thought I was going to have a fight with you guys on this one. Like, I was shocked how much I liked it.
This is what I give Tarantino grief for, you know, that at the end of the day, it comes out to, just some stupid explanation. But at this point, I kind of embraced the stupid explanation. I was like, yes, you go for it. You go, Gore. Anyway, go see it.
No, or don't.
So fun. Ridiculous.
It's so much fun. It's completely unlike anything you've seen, I say. But anyway.
Well, it's like everything you've seen in one place.
or every movie you've seen all in one place. That's true. But it's not, come on, it's not Holy Motors land.
No,
it's more accessible than that.
No, it's more irritating than that.
No.
Joe,
no,
I'm going to make you watch Holy Motors now.
No, I agree. It's less kind of off-kilter than Holy Motors. It attempts to have some sort of narrative. I just didn't like the way it went. So, let us know what you think. Mail at movierollers.com, twitter.com/movierollers, facebook.com/movierollers as well. 3 movies this week. Couldn't be more different. Gold, A Dog's Purpose, and A Cure for Wellness. All of which are early February kind of releases. So there's plenty to watch in the movie theaters. It's a reasonable start to the year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd say.
In terms of content. So not the usual January, February. I hate to use the word drivel that we get, but yeah. Okay. So until our next podcast, too many movies, too little time. A good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.